This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yeah, Father, we thank you for this time. We just pray that you would speak to us and continue to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the Word of God. It's part of the mystery of the Trinity. 1 John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life is the light of men, and that light shines into the darkness, and darkness did not overcome it. Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then verse 18, the NIV puts it beautifully, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in close relationship with the Father, has made Him known." I mean, that's the purpose of Christ coming to the earth, the purpose of the Word becoming flesh, manifesting in a form that we recognize and understand. In human form, He came not just to save us, not just to give us eternal life, but to show us the Father, to make Him known to us, so that through that knowledge, through that relationship with the Father, we might have eternal life. That's Jesus. His whole heart, His whole passion was to reveal the Father. That's why often you see Jesus says, if you don't know Me, you don't know My Father. Because Me and the Father are one. I've come to make Him known. So He has come not only to save us, but that we may know God and have eternal life. And the Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God recorded for us, preserved for us, given to us that we may know God, that we may know Him more. Everything that we know about God in His detail of His personality, we can see God in creation, in His splendor and His power. But what we know of Him as a person, we know through the Word, through Jesus and the written Word that we have access to this very day. The more you know and believe the Word of God, the more you will discover God. The more you know and believe the Word of God, the more you will discover God. That's why we have started now not to replace small groups. Small groups are continuing normally on a Wednesday, but we've added to that Bible study group so that we create an opportunity in a space where we can come to know the Word more. Because in that, if you start to believe it and apply it, you will know God more. Because He's alive, and His Word is also alive. So the more you discover of God, the more you will have life. In John 17, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You." This is eternal life. Eternal life is not something that we will only have once we die. No, eternal life is to know God. That's eternal life. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And with that in mind, we come to church to discover more. We come to hear more of the Word. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to know God yourself. To take time and spend it in the Word, seeking to know Him. To help you with that, we have Bible study groups that will teach you to do that if you don't know or if you're struggling. But with all that, let's just look at John chapter 1 again, from 1 John verse 5. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not overcome it. It's very interesting that as you read this portion of Scripture, this phrase, in the beginning, is repeated. I mean, there's so much I wanted to... I'm just stuck at this portion of Scripture, and I mean, there's many sermons there, but let's begin with the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and this phrase, in the beginning, repeats itself in this powerful portion of Scripture. It obviously refers to Genesis 1 verse 1, because it says here, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Here in Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And then God said, let there be light. And in that, we again see the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, the Spirit, and the Word. They were all involved in creation, and God created everything in the beginning. And then here we read, and this is the point, that the Word, Jesus, was in the beginning, and all things were created, was made through Him. Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning. And here we read in Revelations 1 verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the beginning and the end. It kind of evolves from understanding that He's beginning, but understand He's also the end. He is the one who was, but He's also the one who is, but He's also the one who is to come. He is the Almighty. He is God Himself. There's three things that I want to share this morning around this concept of Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and who is to come, the Almighty. There's some powerful realities in that for us. First of all, Jesus is the beginning and the end. It's the first thing. He is the beginning and the end. If Jesus is the beginning and the end, then it's also everything in between. He's the beginning of the string of time, and He's the end of the string of time, and therefore He's the string itself. He is everything. Everything came to existence because of Him. Everything is sustained because of Him. He is life. He is not just the beginning and the end. If He's the beginning and the end, He's everything in between. And that's why He's not just who was, but He's also who is. Not just who was and is to come, but the one who is. The second thing is, Jesus says, I am who is present, who was past, and who is to come future. So God is saying, I am with you in your presence. If I'm the beginning and the end, I'm everything in between. So I'm with you right now. But even more than that, I'm already in your future. God is not just present with you. He's already in your future. He's already waiting for you tomorrow. In tomorrow. This is the amazing thing about the reality that He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. He is not just with you right now. He's already waiting for you tomorrow. Your next week, your next month, your next year, Jesus is already there. He's not just walking with you there. He's already there waiting for you. And He's not just in your tomorrow, in your next week, in your next month, in your next year. He's also in your next life. He's already there. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. God is not just with you. He's waiting for you in your future. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's outside of time. It's like a string that lies before Him, the beginning of time and the end of time, and He stands at the outside and He sees the beginning and He sees the end and He sees, oh, there's Andres. Look at him go. Well, I'm with you. Your past, your future, I'm here. I know your future. I'm there also. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have gone before you, and I'm waiting for you in your tomorrow, in your next week, in your next month, your next year. I've gone before you. We sang it so powerfully. We shared that scripture. Sandra, thanks for your obedience. I'm going before you. I'm with you. I'm going before you. I'm already there. As a matter of fact, he came before all of us into this world. He died and went to heaven before of us to prepare a way for us because he's already there. He's gone before us so we can follow him with boldness. God is saying, I'm in your future. The third thing is Jesus says, I am the Almighty. I am not only God. Nothing is impossible for me. I'm not just in your past, in your presence. I'm not just in your future. Nothing is impossible for me. Tomorrow that you're so afraid of, I'm already there and nothing is impossible for me. That's what God is saying. Nothing is impossible for me. The implication of this, I mean, is huge. You know, Jesus often said, have you not heard? Have you not heard that in the beginning I was there and I made everything? Have you not heard that I'm also the end and nothing is impossible? Jesus often says, have you not heard? Have you read that before? Or sometimes he's, don't you understand? Don't you understand? I'm the beginning and the end and nothing is impossible for me. The more you know and believe the word of God, the more it will affect your life and the way you lead your life. The word of God is going to change you in the way you live your life. If you know it and believe it, it will change you. It will open your eyes to see what you cannot see, what this world cannot see. But anyway, I don't want to get distracted. The implications of these three things are the following. One of man's greatest fears is the fear of the unknown. One of our greatest fears is what's going to happen tomorrow. It's one of our greatest fears that we struggle with, the uncertainty and the unknowability. Is there a word like that? I've just created one. The unknowability of what the future may bring. We don't know what's going to happen in South Africa. We don't know what's going to happen with land reform. We don't know what's going to happen with our health. We don't know what's going to happen with our children. We don't know. And it causes a lot of stress and uncertainty because, you know, what's fascinating is that what we don't know, we fear it because we all always think the worst is going to happen. What will happen? What will go wrong in South Africa in a month? 2 or 3 months from now. What will happen? What will go wrong with land reform? What will go wrong with my health? What will go wrong with my children? And that causes anxiety, fear, and stress. Because we not only not know what's going to happen, we're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid of all the bad stuff that's going to happen in the future. That we have no power over, no ability to change, and therefore we fear. It's interesting how that causes stress in us. Is there anybody here that stresses about the future for all the things that's going to go right? Anybody here? If you have, please come see me. We'll definitely need to pray for you. But we don't fear for all the things that's going to go right in the future. We fear for all the things that's going to go wrong in the future. And we don't even know the future. We fear and stress about all the things that can go wrong. Why? Because we don't have the power to change those things. And they say up to 90% of all modern illnesses is stress related, either directly or indirectly. Because we stress about all the things that can go wrong. Well, not all stress is bad. I mean, stress is a good motivator. It's a good motivator. Stress is a good thing. Kind of God knew we kind of procrastinate, so, you know, exams are coming. So, It's a good motivator. I mean, if you don't stress about it, then you probably won't study at all. But, you know, so stress is a good thing. But there's a line. When you believe that you're going to die constantly, you've crossed the line where stress becomes harmful. A good thing can become harmful. And so too stress. It can become harmful when you constantly believe in everything that's going to go wrong. It will start to eat you up from the inside. Ask a doctor. Your immune system dies and you get vulnerable to attack. Physically. Yeah. But also spiritually. But if you know and believe the word, it's going to change the way you live. It's going to change the way you think. Remember we spoke about repentance? Changing the way you think. See, if you know and believe the word, it's going to change the way you think. Not just about the present, but about the future. Because the word of God has a lot to say about the future. Faith in the word leads to life. Faith in Jesus leads to life. It's so obvious. Jesus and the word is the same. God is saying, I am with you always. No matter what you're going through, I'm with you always. But he's not just saying that. He says, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go before your life. I'm going to go into your tomorrow, your next week, your next month. I'm just going to be with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through in the presence, I'm going to be with you. But I'm also going to go before you. Into your tomorrow, into your next week, and I'm going to be there waiting for you. And nothing is impossible for me. And more than that, I love you. I've given my life for you so that you may have life. So I'm not just there in your future. I have made a way for you. I have prepared for you. I've given my life 2,000 years ago so that you can have life now and eternity. And if I'm willing to give you my life, will I not also give you all other things? It's the word of God. If he's given us his son, will he not also with him give us all things? I'm already waiting for you in your tomorrow. Deuteronomy 31 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, nor be discouraged. Because I'm not just with you, I've already gone before you. You know, in the army, when I was in the army, we used to send out the verkenners so that they can make a path for us. We call them the pathfinders, the rakis, the verkenners, whatever. That's what they do. You send them in, they find a path, they come back to you, they say, I know the way, let me show you. And then we follow them because they've been there before. It's great confidence. Jesus, I'm going to go before you in your tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? Relax. Relax. I've already been there. I'm the beginning and the end. I know all things. I know what you're going to do tomorrow. I know what you're going to face tomorrow. I've already been there. And I've not just been there. Nothing is impossible for me, no matter what it is. I've made a way out for you. God says, he is faithful and just, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but with it, he will also give us a way of escape. I've made a way for you. I've been in your tomorrow. I've been in next month. I've seen what's going to happen, and I've made a way for you because nothing is impossible for me. Now, here's the trick. You need to trust him because he will lead you to life. Even though it goes through this valley of the shadow of death, don't worry, just stick with him. Because I've already made a way for you. But you must believe him. You must trust in him. And then you must follow him. It doesn't help you say you believe in him and you take your own way through tomorrow. Well, good luck for you. Stress. Because you don't know what's going to happen. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust the Lord. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Have you heard that before? Because He's been there before. And because He's been there before, and because all things are possible for Him, and because He loves you, He says, not even a bird falls to the ground apart from my Father's will, and you are more valuable than many birds. Just trust me. I know the way. I know the way of tomorrow. I know the way of next month. I know the way of next year. Just trust me. And then follow me. You see, we simply need to believe. In Deuteronomy 1 verse 33 is, who went in a way before you and searched out a place for you to pitch your tents. I love that. I've gone into next month and I've looked for a place where you can be safe. And I found it. Now I'm coming back to you to show you the way you should go. By the fire and by the pillar of the cloud. Remember? God is saying exactly the same. Saying exactly, tomorrow, next month, next year, I've been there. I've looked for a place that's safe for you, and I'm coming back to show you the way. Just follow the cloud. So you need to trust God to follow the cloud. God goes before it, searches the best place for us, and then show us where it is. If you would only believe and trust to follow Him, He already knows what's going to happen in your future. He has already provided for you in your future, and He wants to show you where He has provided. And He does that through His word and through His voice. It's fascinating. I love the word. I love the truth in it. You know, Harry Potter and all these things are so popular these days. And spells and all these kind of nonsense. Well, there are stuff in here. If you apply it, it's going to work. Doesn't matter what circumstances you're in. It's going to lead to life. It's just, you've got to believe it. What you sow, you will reap. You just got to believe it. What you speak, life and death is in the power of the tongue. I mean, so we can go on and on. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is through the word and His voice that He guides us into the place that is already prepared for us, that is safe. And He's coming back to show us the way. How does He show us the way? He shows it through the word and through His voice. And not only that, the word of God declares that God is almighty. Nothing is impossible with Him. You see, we fear and we stress about things that can go wrong. Why? Because we don't have the power to change those things. And God says, I'm almighty. Nothing is impossible for me. So trust me. The things that you don't know about, and even the things that you cannot change, trust me, because I can change it. We fear and we stress about all the things that go wrong. But God says, put your trust and your faith in me, for nothing is impossible for me, and then follow me. Deuteronomy 32 says, yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God. That's the saddest thing. Who went before you, found a place for you, came back to show you the way, and you didn't believe. So you ended up walking around the desert for 40 years. Because He said, that, you see that river? It's the Jordan. Go through it, the promised land is there. I know you can't see it. Who gave the word? Thank you for that. I know you can't see it, but the other side of the Jordan, there's my provision for you. No, doesn't make sense. So they spent 40 years in the desert. Who wants to live 40 years in the desert? We simply need to believe. Isn't that Matthew 6? God says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? I mean, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil, yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Are you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows. He knows. He's in tomorrow. He knows you need food tomorrow. He knows. So he's made a way for you. Follow him. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his ways, his righteousness, and you will have all these things. Why? Because he's already gone into your future. He's found a place of safety. And therefore, don't worry where you're going to end up tomorrow. Don't worry about the cliff there and the cliff there. There I've made a way for you. So what you need to do is seek first his kingdom and his ways. And guess what? You will have what you need. Instead of trying to worry about all the places that you can fall off and worry constantly, stress, and get sick and die early. Just trust me. Seek my kingdom and my ways, and I will lead you to where you have everything you need. I'm sorry it's so complicated. All you need is to believe and trust him. And then follow him. But you see, we need to change the way we think. That's why Jesus says you need to repent to come into the kingdom. You need to change the way you think. You need to trust me. Not your own understanding, not your circumstances, not what the world says. Trust me. Change the way you think, and then follow me. You know, another thing that we need to understand is God does not change. Our fear, one of our greatest fear, is the fear of the unknown in the future. We are afraid about what's going to go wrong in the future, the unknown, unpredictability of the future. God says, I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Uncertainty is one of our greatest fears. I mean, look at the economy. Where there is uncertainty, the economy nosedives. Because we can't deal with uncertainty. God says, I don't change. Yeah, but what about tomorrow? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God says, but I don't change. Yeah, but there's a Red Sea before me. But I don't change. Yeah, but because of this Red Sea, maybe I must sell this, do that. And God says, but I don't change. Future brings uncertainty, and with uncertainty it can produce stress and fear of the unknown, and the absence of stability can produce stress and fear. Né? But God says, I'm present in your future and I do not change. That is stability. God does not change. That is stability. To think certainty, I have certainty in my future because God is there and he does not change. I have stability because he doesn't change. I have stability because he is there. I've got certainty because God is in my future, and I've got stability because God does not change. So am I afraid of the future? No. Number one, I'm stable in my perception of what the future is because God is in my future and he does not change. That gives me stability. He's already there and he doesn't change. That gives me certainty. This gives me great confidence and hope for the future. What about the future of South Africa? Well, you know, can this ANC, the EFF, the DA change God's or his presence? I mean, can the ANC, the EFF, or the DA change God or his presence? No. So, what does it matter? God says, I've gone before you. I've looked for a place that is safe for you, and I've prepared it for you. I've come back to show you that way. Just trust me. Follow me. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not destroyed. Because I don't change." This gives me great confidence and hope for the future. Boldness to seek Him and to follow Him. And that's not all. God loves you. He loves you. And He's given His Son for your life. A ransom paid for your life. He's invested everything in you. He's poured out His Spirit in you. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Have you not heard this one before? Have you heard this one before? "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then, if you will only seek My face, then I must show you where that is. Then you will call on Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. You will seek Me and find Me. When you seek Me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Matter of fact, I think in Hebrew it actually says, "I will make Myself found by you." I will, like, if you seek Me and if you call out My name, I will make Myself found by you. I'm just like, here I am. Can I show you the way? But you need to believe His word, trust Him, and then seek Him. God's plan for your life is good, is not for evil. He has given us His Son so that we may know how much He loves us. This gives me even greater confidence and hope for the future, because I know how much God loves me. And Romans 8 says, no matter what happens, nothing is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. So it gives me even greater confidence, not only because I have certainty that God is there, stability because He doesn't change, the knowledge that He loves me and He's given everything for me and He's gone before me, prepare a way, and He's not going to leave me nor forsake me, but He's also almighty. Jesus said and looked to them and said to them, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." No matter what circumstances you're going to go through tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, God is there. He doesn't change, and nothing is impossible for Him. He can change your circumstances. He is almighty. He has all the might He needs to do anything He wants to do. Nothing is impossible for Him. He cannot be stopped from accomplishing His purposes. Therefore, if you are in His will, if you are in God's will, what can man do to you? If nothing is impossible for God and He accomplishes what He desires, if you're in His will, what can happen to you from man? Nothing. So if you're in the will of God, nothing is impossible. How do we know the will of God? It's in the book. You are the most clever boy here. It's in the book. It's the roadmap. You know, last week, what was I? A mechanic. Now I'm a tour guide. Okay? The Bible is the map. It's the roadmap. The Holy Spirit is the compass. Now, it's not that difficult. If we would just take the map and ask the Holy Spirit, you can actually get to that place yourself. And I don't want to preach myself out of a job, but you can hear Him yourself. You can know the will of God for your life yourself. Please come to Sunday for the little extra, you know, upgrade or something. But you've got the package. You've got the package. You see, when there is uncertainty, threat, or fear, make God your refuge. Just go to Him. When there's uncertainty, threat, or fear, go to God. Seek Him. If you see all the cliffs and all the stuff that can go wrong, seek where God is. and go where he is. Because if you're in his will, nothing is impossible. Because whatever he wants to do with your life will happen if you're in his will. So that's why he says, don't worry. Just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things. I know you need it. See, I've learned to run to him, not to this world or anything in it that may have the illusion of security and safety. He is my shelter, not my circumstances. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. If you know this and you believe this, it will change the way you live your life. And you will have life. And you will have life. I choose to trust and to believe in God and his word. There is infinite and unending security in the almightiness of God if we would only believe and choose in his presence and in his future. There is nothing more liberating and exciting to be and strengthening to be in his truth and to be in his will. No matter what happens, when you realize that God is for you, that he loves you, that he has a plan for your life, that he himself is present in your future, not just in your presence, but in your future, that he is almighty and he doesn't change, there is great hope, great confidence, great joy, great excitement about the future, and a great encouragement to follow Jesus, no matter what circumstances may be, is to find him. I want to encourage you, if you're afraid, make God your refuge, run to him, find him, and ask him, show me the way. Because you've been here before. You know, Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Trust him, believe in him, and follow him. I want to end with this. Let us live life with confidence in who God is. In what his word says about who he is. And what he promises in his word. Take hold of it. Wrestle through it. Make it your own. And then live it. It will lead to life every time. Fine print. It doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen instantly. Because our faith will be tested. So when we follow the directions, our circumstances does not instantly change. But it always leads to life. God says, I will turn whatever happens to you for your good. And the challenge is, not the way I thought it would work out. You know, we have an understanding and a plan and a hope what tomorrow might bring. But God has the perfect plan that leads to another plan, that leads to another plan, that leads to the promised land. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to find a place where you can put up a tent. And then I'm going to go before you and find another place where you can put up a tent. And I'm going to go before you and find a place where you can have water. And then I'm going to lead you to a river that I want you to trust me, cross it over, because when you do, you will not live in a tent anymore. You will live in a house. But you got to follow me step one, step two, step three, step four. So that you can get to the promise. That's the fine print. But that's faith. That's trust. Don't worry. You will not be tempted beyond what you're able. And you will not die. If you're in his will. He will make a way of escape and he will turn it for your good. So therefore, do not be afraid nor be discouraged, but follow him. Amen? Amen. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Your word is truth, it is life, and it leads to even greater life. And Lord, I pray, Father, to the morning that we will have a renewed hunger and thirst a desire to know your ways, that we have an understanding that you are not just with us, but you have gone before us. You've looked for a place of safety and provision already in next month. God, I pray that you will give us the faith and the trust to follow you wherever you lead. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, you know. You know the best. And therefore, we put our trust in you. And I pray, Father, for life. Lord, I pray for eyes to open. Lord, eyes to open. Lives to live, to be lived to the full, without fear, without stress, but with perfect peace, that nothing is impossible for you, and that you love us. You have a place for us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we don't even need to fear death, because you've gone before us also. And you've conquered death. And you have prepared a place for us for eternity. There's nothing in this life we need to fear anymore. Not man, not death. Nothing. Because you have gone before us. We want to worship you for that. We don't need to figure it out ourselves. You've done it already. Lord, so I pray for faith. I pray for faith in you. And just a willingness to invest in your word. Because it has all the answers and all the ways. So I pray for that. And Lord, this morning, if there's somebody here that has never surrendered their life to you, has been on a road on their own, and keeps on falling over cliffs and into holes, Lord, I know your heart is broken for them. You have a plan for their life to give them a future and a hope. If you are hopeless, if you do not see your future, if your life is a mess, it's full of pain and destruction, and you have nowhere to go, God is here, and he says, come to me, I will give you life. And if that is you, I would love to pray with you. So I'm going to hang around you at the end, but Father, I pray that you will send those who need you today, Lord, to know you and to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen.